So we'll be doing these chronologically as they appeared, or as they were given, I should say. Remember, Wednesday night, we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter 8, where Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." So it'll be a great study on the I am. And as he mentioned, Friday night, the men, and then keep in mind the revival. If we have a number of people coming down from other churches on the Friday night, we will have a service that evening at 7, but I'll keep you posted on that. That's a maybe, but definitely 10 to 2:30 on the 1st. You'll want to be here for the revival. Brother Brinkman and Brother Garrett Piper will be our two visiting preachers for that day, and I know it will be a great day. So last week we saw here in Amos chapter 3 how God said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And God was specifically speaking to his children, his chosen people, Israel. And the answer was no. And because they did not agree with God's word and God's commandments, then they couldn't walk together. And that is true for Christians as well. And God now expounds upon why that was here in Amos chapter 3. It was all about Israel's heart and their lack of desire to obey. So beginning where we left off last week in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces of the land in the land of Egypt, and say, Assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, the adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so that shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord." So they know not to do right will be our title. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray that you now would use your word as we open it together to speak to us, to do a miracle in our lives and changing us. Lord, we thank you for the word and its power, and that the Holy Spirit is in our service, and pray that we would all now open our hearts to hear from you. And Lord, that you would be glorified and pleased. So please guide us now in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as they talked last week and in the previous chapter, they kept saying to the Lord, "Prophesy not. We do not want to hear from the prophets anymore." They had the wrong attitude toward God's word. We saw that for both Judah and for Israel in chapter 2. Remember, there in verse 4, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord." So they had a wrong attitude toward God's word. And then the same for Israel, where last week, or week before last, where he was talking about how he would punish Israel, verse 6 of chapter 4, he says, "I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, the poor for a pair of shoes." And on down he listed their transgressions. But ultimately they said to the Lord, "Prophesy not." So both Israel and Judah had a wrong attitude towards God's word. So notice in verse 7, what does he say? "He revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So God has always tried to appeal to his people through his word. And he's still doing it today. In Tirah this afternoon, we looked in Titus 1, where the Bible said God manifests his word through preaching. And you and I are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And even in the Old Testament, God would send his prophets to share his will with his people. But even the secret things he would reveal through his prophets. And we'll see this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. And I want to show you that God, of course, his ways are higher than our ways. We're told that in Isaiah 55. But God often will reveal secrets to his prophets, to his people, through his word. And that has always been true. Notice Deuteronomy 29:29. The Bible says, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So it says the secret things belong unto the Lord. There will be so much when we get to heaven that we'll realize we didn't know. Amen. Even heaven itself, the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And then go to Psalm 25, verse 14, if you would. And God makes it very clear that he will often reveal the secret things to his children. Psalm 25, and look at verse 14, where the Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, John 7:17, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So those who choose to fear the Lord, who choose to be saved and then obey God's word, God will reveal things unto them. And of course, here in the New Testament age, go to John chapter 16. God does that himself directly through the person of the Holy Ghost, who moves in and takes residence when we're born again. And he is there to accomplish many things, to convict us, to protect us from error, but also to reveal his word to us. And how blessed are we that not only we have his word, but then we have the author of the word living inside of us. Notice John 16, down in verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus spoke these words there in the upper room prior to his crucifixion and resurrection. And he made explained that the Holy Ghost would not permanently indwell man until after the resurrection. He called it the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which began on the day of Pentecost. And now for you and I, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and we are called the temple of the Holy Ghost, who reveals his word to us. We are Bible-believing Christians, which means we don't believe that the church or the pastor has a corner on the word of God. We all have the same Bible, and we all have the same Holy Spirit. And we can all study the Word of God and learn from God through His Word. And that's important, that we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth and to show us His Word. So God is speaking to His children here in Amos 3. He says He's revealed His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Verse 8, He says, the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Who can but prophesy? So, God says it has to happen. Now, this is, you know, centuries ago, centuries prior to Christ. But he says, I have to keep sending my prophets. I have to keep appealing with my people. They may not listen, they may rebel, but I'm going to keep doing it. And even today, we just need to keep sharing the gospel with the lost and allow the power of the Word of God to work in their hearts, and some will be saved. So go to the Old Testament, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, and we'll see how God just continued to speak through his prophets to his chosen people, Israel. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. The Bible says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. This is Jeremiah speaking. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah was persecuted intensely for his prophecies from God. And there came a point in his ministry where he said, that's it, I'm not going to prophesy anymore. And then he said, but his word was like a fire in my bones and I had to prophesy. And that is how God works, and that is how we got his word. The Bible says, prophecy came not at all time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is talking about Old Testament prophets. The Holy Ghost came upon them and spake God's word through them. That's 2 Peter 1:21. You and I have a responsibility, go to Acts chapter 4, to speak his word to the lost. As we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, they were to instruct those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth. That's why we're here, to instruct the lost in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But notice Acts 4:20, what the disciples said when they were told, stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. I love their answer. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't help ourselves. We have to share what Jesus did. We should all feel the same. I have to tell people what Jesus did on the cross. I have to tell people what he did for me personally. We need to have that same attitude that the disciples had. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:16. Paul had this attitude as well. Paul was a human like the rest of us. He was a sinner like the rest of us. And lest we think that it was all natural for Paul, it wasn't. He even talks about his own struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7. But notice he said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I have to. He said, I have no choice. And we should all have that same attitude. I have no choice but to tell others about Jesus. So what was the main problem with Israel? Was their attitude toward the word. They did not want to hear it. They did not want to obey it. They did not want to listen to it. And so go back to our passage, Amos 3. After God explained that he reveals the secrets through the prophets, which he continues to do through his word, and the Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? He says in verse 10, here was the root problem. Because their attitude toward the word was wrong, because they didn't want to listen to the word of God, verse 10, they know not to do right. They know not to do right. That would be a good description of today, wouldn't it? Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. You know, we shouldn't stand back and say, oh, look at those sinners sinning. It's natural for sinners to sin. Their father's the devil. We talked about this last Wednesday night. They're fallen. They don't have God. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So we shouldn't be shocked if they act like the devil, because they are the devil's children. Notice Romans 3 verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, that saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. How do we know that according to our Creator, it is wrong to lie? Or it's wrong to commit murder. How do we know that? Because God told us so in his word. God wrote it down and said, this is wrong, this is right. So while you're in Romans, look at chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. The law was given as our schoolmaster to lead us to our need for a Savior. The law wasn't given to get us to heaven, because we can't keep it. But it was given to show us that we're wicked, so that we seek a Savior from our problems, or from the consequences of our sin. Go to Romans 5 now, verse 13. Notice it says the same. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. God is saying of Israel, they know not to do right because they haven't listened to my law. People need to hear the word. Amen? It always comes down to that. If you would, look at Luke 16. I'll show you. Now, this is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Most of you know the story. The rich man went to a place of torment. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man said to Abraham, "Would you please send someone back to tell my brothers about this so they don't come to this place?" Literally saying, you know, what if somebody was sent back from hell? Would people repent and get saved? And look at Abraham's answer here in Luke 16, down in verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." He said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." He said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." 2,000 years ago, one did rise from the dead. Amen. His name was Jesus Christ. How many people believe? Sadly, the gate is still wide that leadeth to destruction, because they won't believe the word. They won't believe the truths of Jesus Christ, the truths of the gospel. It always comes down to the word. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and we'll see that that's what the devil does, is he blinds people to the truths of God's word, their need for salvation because of their sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So what's the devil blinding their minds to? The word, the truth of God's word. You know, when the Philippian jailer heard the singing and then the earthquake came, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did they say? "Go to the church." No, they didn't say that. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." There in Acts chapter 16. So it always comes down to people needing to hear and believe the word of God. And God said, "They know not to do right because they won't hear my word." So what does the world need? His word. They need the gospel so that they can understand why Jesus died. They understand who he was, and they repent of their sin and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we'll finish there in verse 14 of our passage of Amos 3. So God says, they know not to do right, and yet sadly they knew better. They knew they should have known the law. Notice verse 14. "In the day that I shall visit the transgression of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house and the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end. They are my chosen people. They should have known better." It's essentially what he's saying. You and I know better. Does that mean we never sin? Unfortunately, no. So again, don't be surprised when the world acts like the devil. They need Jesus. They don't need us to turn our noses up at them. They need us to love them and tell them someone died for you and rose again that you might be saved from your sin and go to heaven. But they know not to do right. They need to be told. And that's why whenever you witness to somebody, where do you start? You always start with sin. Just like Jesus did with the woman at the well in Samaria. You always start with sin. We're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. You always start there. You can't get saved until you're lost. So you got to get them lost first. I mean, they are lost, but I mean in their own hearts they need to know they're lost. And then they need to know that our Creator loved us enough to write His will down in the book. He preserved it for us, and here we have it. And it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. So they know not to do right. It should be a sobering truth for all of us to know that the fields are wide unto harvest. And God wants us to pray for laborers, or pray that He would send forth laborers into His harvest so that the people might know that they're sinners, deserve to go to hell, but God loves them so much, He died in their place. Praise God. So they know not to do right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this beautiful truth.